Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
Sorry, I'm still getting my mic set. I looked over and I'm like, oh, I don't have a microphone to talk into. I was just going to start yapping. It is Tuesday, June 17th. Thanks for joining us. Getting situated. It is John Lund Unleashed. Thanks for joining us. Episode 167, Devers Bay Day. He's going to be introduced today at 2:30. So I'm going to jump on right after 2:30 Pacific time and talk more about Rafael Devers and our first impressions of him in the Bay. I'm a little surprised, but I guess that's what media does, especially in sports. They're skeptical of everything and they're looking for the other side of this. Like, this is one of the biggest no-brainer deals I've ever seen in my lifetime, honestly, to get Devers. And I felt bad for Kyle Harrison. You saw the video and stuff, and he's crying and hugging people and everything, but that's the business that they're in, and there's no crying in baseball. And so I feel bad for Kyle Harrison, but it's a joke that they could get Rafael Devers, especially at this price, for this kind of production. And the people who are digging to be like, well, oh, he's taking a chance. They're not taking a chance. This is the day that all fans have been waiting for. Yesterday was the day that all fans have been waiting for somebody to be aggressive, to be a big market team, to trade pitching for hitting. Like, this is what the Giants should have been doing the whole time. I've been talking about it for years. And for some reason, Farhan just, well, I'm hoarding all my prospects, all my valuable pitchers that you could just sign other pitchers. You know, Colorado can't sign pitchers, they can sign hitters. The Giants can sign pitchers, they can't sign hitters. You go out, you trade your excess for hitting. They should have been doing this for years. There's no excuse to have this shitty of a lineup constantly for this team. This is what they should have done a long time ago, and people are nitpicking it. It's laughable to me. But anyway, we'll get into it. The questions, Ohtani returns, NBA Finals. I don't know what to make of Tyrese Haliburton. OJ Day, I'll explain that, and random things happen throughout the show. Please make sure that you are subscribed on the Bay Area Sports Collective and John Lund Unleashed. I'll give you a moment to do that, but if you would do that, that would be absolutely dandy. That B in the corner is Bay Area Sports Collective, my show, John Lund Unleashed, as well as Tom Tolbert. Tolbert was on yesterday. I was hassling his show after my show. You got Polymax Particles with Creative Tony, all KNBR guys. Rod Brooks. Rod does a great job as well, does a lot of night shows. And Amy G, she talks all sorts of different things, but she talks women in media, which is awesome. Of course, she can talk Giants as well as Jeremy Elfelt, the former Giant. So a lot of stuff going on today, and Rafael Devers is the big story again. So we'll go out and say good morning to everybody in just a minute. But good morning on Instagram. You're watching at John Lund Radio. On X at John Lund Radio. Not only Instagram, but LinkedIn, Facebook, all these different places, however you're watching. Thank you, first and foremost. If you would migrate over to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, that would be tremendous. Please subscribe, like, so the algorithm likes us. And if you would keep those alerts on, because we send out stuff during the day. And for example, we'll be back on however long the Devers press conference goes today. We'll come on at about maybe 3:15, 3:30 Pacific time today and play some of those clips back for you, as well as opine on things. Now, you've got the translator, so it's going to take a little longer. So he says this, the translator says that, but we'll do it. We'll go all through those things and say what Devers is going to be asked a lot of questions. He's going to be asked about the ballpark, his contract, how we heard about it, what happened in Boston, all those different things are going to be asked. And I'll try to answer some of those questions before we even get to the questions that the media will ask today. And we are not a tough media. We're one of the easiest medias in all of sports. How do I know that? I've been in Detroit. I've been in Pittsburgh. I've been in Dallas. I've been in, you know, lots of different markets. And I would say that this is probably the easiest, softest market I've been in. But yet they are still skeptical, and I understand why. But like I said, this is a complete no-brainer. So we'll get into all those things today as well. Plus, it's an anniversary day, OJ Day, which I will explain. But good morning to everybody. I'm going to say good morning to everybody in the chat room here. So if you're in a different place and you're like, where's that damn chat room? It's right in front of you if you'd come over to John Lund Unleashed. So good morning to Dom Walter. Hello, Walter. Walter is here. Vrock is here. Mark, who is back. That is awesome. Humboldt Fats. Fozzie is here this morning. Jake, good morning to you, my friend. It is awesome to have everybody. Pine Needle, Scott, everybody's very interested endeavors. The 1-4-20 is here, which makes for a great show. Shrimboy, Hurley Boy, or Hurley Bird, I should say. Naomi, it is awesome to see you. So a lot of people in the room today. If you are new around here, please just pop on and say hello. That's all you got to say. Great community. If you have a differing opinion, people aren't going to scream and yell at you. You are in a safe zone here. It's a lot of fun. We have a good time every day. Please consider joining our community, or you can just hang out however you want to watch. It is completely fine with me. But just letting you know, it's a great community. We have a lot of fun every single day. We are here Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., 10 a.m. on the weekends, and whenever news breaks. And like I said, with a press conference today, we want to come on afterwards and opine on what Rafael Devers says to the established and gathered Bay Area media. One more thing before we get jumping today, that is, as you see that pair of legs down there below that stay for the entire show, if you click on that QR code right there and take care of our sponsors on the show, it would be greatly appreciated. That is Dr. Jeffrey Riopel right there, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, if you want to look it up and you can't get to the QR code somehow. Dr. Jeffrey Riopel, right there in San Ramon. If you're in the East Bay, no-brainer. If you got to drive a little bit, I'm telling you it's worth the drive, because a couple of things. Dr. Riopel was one of the first doctors to do stem cell treatments in all of California, and he's got it down to a science. My wife's elbow, her shoulder. In fact, she's going in today. The foot, she has been doing absolutely positively great, and she's never felt better. I tell you about this all the time. We've got a freezer in our garage that we're not even using now because it's got a bunch of contraptions in it and wraps and all these things, and she's not even using them because she feels so good. So if stem cells is a thing you've thought about, Dr. Riopel is the place to go. And then I use the low T, which is you go in every few months, you have a blood test, and whatever they need to get you back up to the testosterone levels that you feel best at. So as you get older, you lose that. So you're going to feel better. You're going to have more energy. You're going to be in a better mood. Your metabolism is faster. You just feel like your old self again. I cannot recommend it highly enough. And I've been doing the procedure itself for years with Dr. Riopel, a year, 18 months, something like that. And it's great because you only have to go in every 4 months rather than a weekly shot, which I was doing before for years, which is kind of pain in the butt, literally and figuratively. So there it is, Dr. Riopel. And they do all sorts of other procedures. I'm just telling you about a couple. But men, women, look good, feel good, all the different things that you would expect. He does, and he's awesome. So tell him I sent you over. Look up Dr. Riopel online, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Jeffrey Riopel right there in San Ramon. He is awesome, and he finds sponsor of the show. Very important that you tell him that I sent you over, because then he will treat you extra special. All right, for episode 167, it is Devers Bay Day. And as you can see in that small Sweet 16, that's the number he's going to wear, Angel Pagan. You see a little microphone in front of his face because he is going to speak with the media today. So we'll see what he has to say. And again, 2:30 is when that's going to happen. And we will pop on afterwards to talk about it with you. So make sure they get those alerts on. And I'm not exactly sure. Like I said, just depends. I would imagine because they've got a game tonight against the Guardians, they're not going to let this thing go too long. But I would imagine just right before the game. So 2:30, they pop on. He gets on the field. He's going to play tonight. What's the lineup going to look like? We shall see. But all those questions will be answered. He'll do a quick press conference. I would imagine you and I will talk again, I don't know, 3:15, 3:30, something like that. So that's what will happen with Devers. I popped this up yesterday, but I want to do it again. That's what a potential lineup looks like. And I'm telling you, night and day from even a couple of years ago. If you look at just quality hitters in the lineup, Lee is, Adames, Devers, Chapman. Now, again, Chapman's not playing right now, but eventually. Ramos, Flores is having a year. Yaz is up and down. Bailey's a zero. And Tyler Fitzgerald at least is an athlete. I thought he'd have more power, but okay. Looking pretty good. I still would not be done if I were the Giants. I don't need to add another Devers, but something where I maybe could improve my right field, my at least my outfield depth from the standpoint of I needed to get another stick in there. I like Yaz. There's no issue with that, but he's a fourth outfielder to me. So again, because Bailey's a zero in the lineup, I would certainly like to upgrade. How long is Wilmer Flores going to be able to keep this up? Not sure. Willie Adames in name is great and did get a couple of home runs in Colorado, got one in LA, so maybe he's coming out of it a little bit. We shall see as he returns home in the vast Oracle Park. We'll see what he can do when he comes home. But that's that. So that's a pretty good looking lineup. Bailey, again, aside, they could still use an upgrade in right field to me to match how good this pitching is. So that's what's going on as far as what the lineup could possibly look like. Me, I would rather have Ramos lead off, to be honest with you. I don't think Jung-Hoo Lee is a leadoff hitter. He's just not patient enough. So I'd love to see Ramos right at the top. I'd like to see Devers hit two. Your best hitter hits two in Major League Baseball. Willie Adames is not their best hitter. I don't care if Willie Adames is hitting like he was last year in Milwaukee. He's not their best hitter. I want Devers up as much as possible. And if the number two hitter is the best hitter in the lineup, which in today's lineups he is, then it should be Ramos hitting one, Devers hitting two. You want to go right, left, right, left, right, left. I understand that. Maybe then I would move Chapman up to the three spot there to create another a right-handed hitter after the left-handed hitter. And then you kind of go depending on what things are doing. Flores could hit in the four hole after that. Maybe Adames until he really gets going could hit in the six hole after that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, down the line. Then you'd go Yastrzemski seven with the lefty, switch hitting Bailey, Fitzgerald like a double leadoff hitter with his athleticism hitting nine. So that's, I would change that up a little bit. We'll see what Bob Melvin does. We'll see what the Giants do. But needless to say, just a much better lineup than even, you know, like a year ago before they even signed Chapman. The thing to just get people going, and then I want to answer some of these questions here because I was reading a great piece by John Shea today, and he's just bringing up the questions, and I understand that. But just to give you kind of a once-over on hitter, so this is just based on OPS, and hopefully you can see that. But that's only based on OPS. So Aaron Judge is the best hitter in the game right now. Cal Raleigh of the Mariners is just having a ridiculous year. I'm not discounting what he's doing, but I'm just saying, like, okay, he hasn't been there every year. Otani's there every year. Schwarber's there every year. Suarez is up and down. Corbin Carroll, third year in the league, had a sophomore slump. Pete Crow Armstrong is breaking out this year. Taylor Ward, his name's not normally there. James Wood's a rookie. Alonzo's established. Okay. Suzuki is good. He hasn't normally this good. Torkelson is a guy who was the first overall pick in the draft at Arizona State. He's finally fulfilling potential. And then you have Devers right there. So the guys that I've highlighted there, these are regular guys who are always on these lists, right? So Judge, Otani, Schwarber, Alonzo, Devers, these are every year kind of guys. So Devers is easily a top 10 hitter in this league is my overall point. He's having a good, not great year, but here's what's interesting about it. If you look at his 15 home runs, they did an overlay on I showed you an overlay yesterday, but as crazy as this sounds, because Devers actually goes oppo a lot, and a lot of his balls that went off the green monster would have been home runs at Oracle Park. So I was thinking to myself, okay, he's got 15, maybe 10 or 11 at Oracle Park would be home runs. He'd actually have, as crazy as this sounds, 26 home runs on the season if he played at Oracle Park. I know that sounds crazy, but what it speaks to is his oppo power. And he hits a lot of balls opposite way, and those balls are off the wall at Fenway Park, and they're doubles. And at Oracle Park, they would have been home runs. So rather than at least on his spray chart this year, rather than taking a bunch of home runs away because of Triples Alley, he would have gotten 11 more home runs. Nine of those 11 home runs would have been home runs oppo way at Oracle Park. I know that sounds crazy, but it was a great overlay that I saw yesterday. So look, I'm not saying anything other than the fact that I think we are getting confused here on how great this guy is. And what media does, and I'm part of it, and I've been part of it for 30 years, is that we start poking holes. We don't get overly optimistic. We leave that to the fans. And so look, we're thinking to ourselves, this is too good to be true. You know, in life, you see these ads or you see something, especially now on the internet or pop-up ads, or you're looking on Instagram or whatever, and they're trying to always sell you something, or a Amazon store. You're going to make $100,000 a month. And you're just right away, as human beings now, we just right away our guards up. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's too good to be true. And so it's happening, I think, with the local media here in the 48 hours that this has been a trade, is that they're looking for something. Like, this is too good to be true. This can't be true. Look, Boston did this. They did it with the Dodgers. They traded a superstar from East Coast to West Coast. The Dodgers haven't been burned by anybody that they made, that they put in that trade. And I think the same thing is going to happen. I like Kyle Harrison, but he's going the wrong way as far as a prospect is concerned. And he has two pitches. I've told you for months, I think he's a reliever. If he goes to Boston, and I hope he's great, and I hope he's a starter, and I hope he becomes a star. But I think he's going to be a really good relief pitcher. I think he's a bottom of the rotation starter if he starts. You can't have two pitches as a starter, two quality pitches as a starter. You got to have four or five, and maybe even more than that sometimes. And they just haven't developed. And so it's tough for him to go through the lineup, say, a third time, because now the deception of, you know, he's got a nice rising fastball. He does some good things, but he's not, I don't think, what he was going to be. He's going to be a nice piece, but I think Boston's going to be disappointed. I don't know about the A-ball pitcher. Jordan Hicks was thrown in there because the Giants said, okay, we will take all the money, but you take Jordan Hicks and the $30 million. That was a financial transaction of why a transaction why Jordan Hicks was in that deal. And then James Tibbs, I don't know anything about James Tibbs. I think Clayton Kershaw was perfectly right. Like, I don't care about college kids, whatever. That's a dart throw. You know, first-round pick, dart throw, left-handed hitter, good power. We'll see. First base DH type, which is Farhan took far too many of those when you need athletes in this ballpark. So what I've seen so far from the media is like, wait a minute, there's got to be a catch. There isn't a catch. Boston just decided there's two teams going in, I think, different directions. I think Boston, once again, is at a reset, decided that they and the player couldn't get along, which I think is stupid, but okay, you're a big market team, figure it out. You have one of the best talents in baseball. And people are trying to, I think, locally trying to poke holes in this whole thing. Like, wait a minute, is Harrison going to turn into Wheeler? Is Tibbs going to turn into whatever? Those guys combined are not going to be Rafael Devers, who's signed and has to be here. Now, in two or three years, here's the catch of the whole thing, too. In about two or three years, if he gets sick of hitting in this ballpark and a bunch of his, what he thinks are going to be home runs, get eaten up by Triples Alley, and he's still the great hitter he is, and he's a DH. And Otani's been a DH, and David Ortiz is a DH, and guys can be a DH. It's okay. If you can hit, it's okay. You don't really have to have a position, and you'll still have a ton of value. They can trade him in a couple of years if he doesn't like it here and doesn't like Triples Alley a whole heck of a lot. He's going to be able to – you're going to be able to get more in trade, even at like 30 or 31 for this guy. He's still in the prime. He can hit forever. Then you gave up. Harrison's on the downside as a prospect. Tibbs, I don't know what he's going to turn into. Hicks was, like I said, was part of the finances of this trade. This is, they could get more. They could turn around right now and trade Rafael Devers for a hell of a lot more than what they got him for. In fact, there's stories out of Boston right now that Craig Breslow turned down deals that were better than this because he just liked this fit. So it's not like they couldn't turn around with this asset and get more in return. There is no downside to this trade. People are trying the financial side of the trade. After this season, he's owed $226 million over 8 years. This deal ends when he's 36. That's not outrageous. The way guys keep them in shape nowadays, 36 is not an outrageous age to be ending a contract. He's not a pitcher. If he's not going to play a position, then he's not going to get hurt. If he does play a position, it's going to be first base. And I'm not minimizing how difficult first base is to play, but it's not the physicalness of being a catcher, a center fielder, even a left fielder. He's not running around a ton. I mean, I'd like him to be an above average first baseman defensively, but he's going to probably be all right. He's not out of shape. It's not a question of that. You know, he has gotten, you know, people question sometimes like Vlad Guerrero. He gets a little too big. He's not Pablo. He doesn't get big like that. He's never been that way, and he's hit every single year. So as a media, we are just conditioned to say, what's the catch? What's the underlying thing? What are we not seeing here? Because as human beings, take it out of the media's hands, as human beings, we are just nowadays like, what's the catch? No, this is really good. Here, this is free. No, it's not. There's a catch. No, I just want to give this to you because I'm being nice. Nope. What's going on here? I know there's something underlying. There's not. The Red Sox just decided they couldn't get along with the guy. Now, that begs the question, and it will be asked today at the press conference within the first handful of questions, what went wrong in Boston, Rafi? What went wrong? Why? And it's going to be one of those things. I don't know. Your work is probably the same way. There seemed to be some divide amongst him in the front office. Maybe it was the way he was asked to play first base. I don't know. These guys have gigantic egos. And we'll see if there, because there was a report, but I don't know if it was substantiated, where they said to, that there was a report that said he would play first base. He would play wherever they asked. And if he'll play first base, because I think Wilmer Flores, with the injuries that he's had in the past couple of years, I'd rather have Flores just stay as my DH. And if Devers can play in an average to above average first base, now all of a sudden I got Devers at first, Fitzgerald at second, Adames at short, Chapman at third when he returns, Bailey's defense. Ramos is good. Lee, I could have Yastrzemski as a fourth outfielder if I can get a better stick in right field. Man, I'm cooking with gas. Now I'm rolling. And as far as right field is concerned, now that I've got Devers, another left-handed stick, it could be a right-handed hitter or a left-handed hitter because I just replaced my first baseman, which for a lot of the season was Lamont Wade Jr. I understand that. But then they were going to maybe use Flores or use Schmidt or, you know, use some right-handed six over there. Dom Smith is a left-hander. I understand that. But now I got Devers. Smith is probably not going to be on this roster. So now I got Devers at first base. I'm going to have some Flores out there. He said he's going to play it. I've solved first base now. So this is a really good team. So again, I'm going to go back to this. What's the catch? What's the catch? What's the catch? I swear there's not. There's not a catch. Because even if he doesn't work out, you can trade him for more. They have finally solved this issue that honestly does go back to Barry Bonds. A middle-of-the-order thumper. Buster Posey was kind of that, but this guy's even a better hitter than Buster Posey. And people all day yesterday were, well, what's the biggest trade in Giants history? You know, Kevin Mitchell coming here was big, probably the biggest one, and there's others involved, but Matt Williams going to the Indians at the time, Guardians now, Cleveland. And in return, Jeff Kent and a number of different players, Jose Vizcaino and Julian Tavares and all that kind of, all those guys. That's probably the biggest trade in Giants history. There's a number in the 60s and 70s that were big ones. Bonds was a signing, not a trade. This is the biggest trade in Giants history. And it's something, here's the other thing that I'm just blown away by. This is something that should have been done years and years and years ago. And I didn't come up with this concept, but I've been the one barking probably the loudest about it in the local media. You trade excess pitching for the hitting. They have to come here. They have to come here. And Devers is under contract for a long time. And that's what's great about it is. And it's not a 12 or a 13-year contract. You didn't do what the Padres did and give a guy like Bogarts 12 years. You got out from under the Correa deal that was going to be 13 years. Harper's got a double-digit deal. You know, this is going to be, after this year, an 8-year deal for $226 million. That's a screaming bargain. Again, local media is like, what's the catch? The years are fine. The dollars are good. The guy's one of the top probably five hitters in baseball, to be honest. Boston's completely freaking out about the return they got because it's not nearly good enough. They didn't shop the guy well enough. There were a few other offers, apparently. I don't know how they couldn't have been better, but they were. The Giants, remember, have the 29th rated farm system in baseball. It doesn't mean that there's not some gems in there, but this is far from a good deal for the Red Sox. Like, what if the Giants don't have this kind of hitter, but what if the tables are turned? And you know Harrison, you know a little bit about Tibbs if you're a Giants fan. I mean, he's an okay prospect, 13th overall pick. I don't know that he was anything overly special. You know what Jordan Hicks is. Again, that was a financial part of the deal. They're throwing in basically $30 million, the Red Sox, to pay. So, okay, we have to pay the $226 minus the $30 that's owed to Jordan Hicks still. So now the deal's down to under $200 million if you look at it minus the $30 million that Hicks was owed. That's a screaming deal. That's an absolute screaming deal for this kind of a guy. So it just seems to me that early on that there's a bunch of questions around this guy about his attitude, which hasn't been a huge deal up until now. I'm sure that he's going to say everything's going to be fine. The player on the field is not a question mark. He's a great hitter, one of the best in baseball. And if he continues on the same track, remember, he's already won a World Series. If he continues on the track he's on, he's a Hall of Fame player. If he was a free agent coming up, let's say he was a free agent at the end of this year, Vlad Guerrero got a $500 million contract at a similar age, actually an older age, a year younger, 27, a year younger than what Devers is. Devers on the open market as a free agent after this year would get $450 to $500 million. You're getting him for half that price. Half. There's no catch. Take the guy. No. There's got to be a catch. There's not. So we'll find out a lot today at the press conference, but I guess I've just been it. I think there's a moment of shock here because we've talked about it for so long with so many different players. No on Harper, no on Otani, no on Stanton, no on, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That was never the way to go. And now I put that on Farhan. We knew right at the beginning. I said this the year that Aaron Judge was on the free agent market. I wouldn't even have pursued him. He wasn't coming here. Oh, but he was coming home. He was not coming here. We knew it from the start. He wasn't coming. Those guys, Ohtani wasn't coming. Harper wasn't coming. They weren't coming. They didn't want to hit in this park. They had no protection in the lineup. They didn't know if you were really committed to winning. And I said this yesterday. This is so massive because it tells the entire league, and I know it tells the fans too, but the league itself, we are committed to winning. And you had to scratch your head. I did. You did as fans. Do they really want to win? Okay, they just made this move. But, you know, it was too no-brainer not to. Like these guys, Red Sox going and going, okay, this is what we'll take for Devers. You're like, what? And I think that Farhan was just far too into churning the bottom of the roster and finding deals at garage sales and shining it up and going, look what I found, and showing all his friends how smart he is. Buster Posey doesn't give a shit about that. Buster Posey wants great players, wants this team, wants this organization to be where it once was. This was Willie Mays and Willie McCovey and Orlando Cepeda and Barry Bonds. Buster Posey knows the tradition of the Giants and is like, why are we doing this? Why are we tiptoeing around all this? We're one of the greatest franchises ever. We've had some of the most iconic players in the game. Why are we doing this? Why are we nitpicking around? Let's go get a Rafael Devers and get back to what we do. Being iconic. Like, you know, I was watching, they had video of David Ortiz talking about Rafael Devers, and I was thinking to myself, like, you know, the Red Sox. You know, Devers fits as an iconic player with that franchise. You know, guys like David Ortiz, and I was, you know, they've got great tradition there. And somehow the Giants lost it. And Buster Posey knows the tradition, and he said all those things at his press conference, and we all kind of just sat back because, like I said, I was there, and we spoke with Buster on our show right afterwards, and he was saying all those things, and I was saying to myself, okay. He was talking about the tradition of the Giants and restoring things and not being content with wild cards and competing with the Dodgers and being on that level. And we all just said, okay, yeah, right. Because it just hadn't happened for years. It hadn't. And especially from an offensive standpoint and a position player standpoint, the organization felt like it was just like, we're just waiting. We're gonna develop these guys. It's going to be fine. The Casey Schmidts are going to come around. The Lucianos are going to come around. And I think Buster Posey looked, especially at this year, and said, Luciano's not doing it for me. And up until recently, Casey Schmidt isn't either. And so we're waiting for these guys. And I don't know what the hell Bryce Eldridge is going to be. But we're sitting here waiting for these guys, and they're never developing. So let's do what we do. Take the XX pitching. Go get a superstar. And as I said this yesterday, the big market teams constantly rob the small market teams. And the Red Sox aren't a small market team. But they constantly act like it. They trade a Mookie Betts rather than extending him. They let a Bogarts go. Now, I wouldn't have signed Bogarts to 12 years, but still, they should have Betts. They should have Bogarts. They should have Devers. They shouldn't let those guys go. Those are franchise icons that you don't trade. They just decided, so what? I mean, the main thing, and I don't know if you saw anything from the Red Sox side. I don't know how you couldn't have, because the way this story has been reported has been like 80%, oh my God, what's going on with the Red Sox? And 20% maybe of, wow, look what the Giants did. Now, I'm not talking about locally, I'm just saying nationally. Every story I'm seeing, reading, video of, like Jeff Passan on Sunday night, they brought him on in the second or third inning when this happened. And 95% of the conversation was, what the hell's going on with the Red Sox? Not, oh my God, how could Buster and the Giants pull this off? Jeez, I mean, what a move by them. It was, oh my God, the Red Sox are a mess, and they did this with Mookie Betts, and what are they thinking, and blah, blah, blah. But they did this, and Craig Breslow, their general manager, did this, and I think at the direction of ownership, to save $250 million. And now what are they going to do? Are they going to turn around and go buy other players with it? That's the concept. But the problem becomes, just like in every other sport, and the Giants know this, you're at the mercy of who's available. And when you trade for someone, you get someone you want. That's the difference. When you go out in free agency, it's like, okay, I guess that's what's here. You know, it's like being at a bar on a certain night. What is there is what is there, and nothing else. So you're beholden to what's in that place. So if you want to, you know, have some fun later that night, well, that's what's there. So those are your pickings. That's free agency. That's it. The best players aren't available in free agency. They're either too expensive, too injured. There's something, there's a reason why a team did not, they're old. There's a reason why a team did not extend out a contract to that player in every single sport. And most times it means that player's flawed. They're too old. They're too injured. They're too ineffective. They're too expensive. Whatever the case may be, there's something wrong with them. And sometimes you hit and sometimes you don't. When you trade for a Rafael Devers to a player of that quality, you say, this is a player we want and fits. What do you want for him? And so you get a player, you're beating the system in that case. Everything is great about this trade. Everything. And you know what? Even if he gets hurt, even if he turns into Albert Pujols, even if he, the concept is right. I would never, ever, ever say anything negative about this trade to Buster. Do you remember when Buster made the Devers trade? What a stupid move that was. Never, those words will never come out of my mouth. They just did, but they won't in the proper context. They will never come out of my mouth because it's 100% in the Giants' favor. And if it didn't work out, it would be something freaky like, the dude, you know, was running down to first base. He ripped his Achilles. He was never the same again. That's not in control of Buster Posey. When he talks to Breslow, and I don't know who initiated what, I think it was the Giants initiating on him, because anytime, and I tell you this all the time, anytime a player is disgruntled and it gets out, leverage goes like this. And for the other team, it's like, well, you guys clearly aren't getting along, so we'll offer you this, this, and this. And the between the money that they owed him and the attitude that he had against the organization, apparently, that's what happened. And again, he'll answer the questions at 2:30 today. But a lot of times, and let's use Jimmy Butler as the example, a lot of times, because a player is disgruntled in one place does not mean he's going to be disgruntled in another. Now, will they show their stripes eventually? Possibly. If he doesn't like hitting in this park, you know, whatever the case may be, if he's not comfortable in this city, whatever the case may be, that may be something. But for right now, everything seems kumbaya. Everybody seems happy. I mean, it's, you know, that's the way it goes. And like I said, if things don't work out in a year or two, they'll get a better return on Rafael Devers than they did, than the Red Sox got from the Giants. There's no question. Here is, I don't know if you saw this yesterday. This was pretty funny. Here is Willie Adames. This was on Sunday Night Baseball. The trade had just been announced. And Willie Adames, shortstop for the Giants, obviously, gives his opinion on the deal.
Personally, I'm like thrilled, man, to have him on the team. Obviously, he's one of the best hitter in the game, and to have him in the team, I think it's gonna help us, you know, to do a lot of damage in this division. And obviously, we need a bat like him in this lineup. So now, when we get Choppy back in the lineup, it's gonna be exciting.
I mean, that dude knows. He's like, are you serious? That's who we just got. By the way, another reason why I'm gonna play that is obviously he's gonna love getting Rafael Devers here. But one of the other reasons I wanted to play that clip, I will be honest, I think that there is nothing to be gained from like a microphone and a camera in Steve Kerr's huddles, right? Let's play really hard because they have to, there's certain parameters. They can't, anything strategic. There's things they cannot show. I know this for a fact because I worked for a company that did these things. And they can only show like generic stuff in those huddles. It's like, come on, guys, keep hustling. Just rebound. Get on the run. We got these guys, blah, blah, blah. Just a bunch of, you know, whatever. Any coach could say it at the high school level up. Eighth grade. Who cares? Like, you never learn anything. But a dude like getting mic'd up, you know, usually they do outfielders because, you know, chances are the ball's not coming to you and you're just kind of hanging out in the outfield. And if it does come to you, just jog over and catch it, whatever. Not normally do they have like the infields. I know that when Anthony Rizzo was on the Cubs, like there was, I think it was on opening day or something. That was awesome because he was talking to players at first base and be like, hey, I'm mic'd up. And that was kind of cool. But like Adames is out there. I think that's cool. I mean, I know they do a lot in the All-Star game. I know there's some controversy over it. You know, players like, why are you micing us up? Because, you know, it's more and more expensive. We want more and more access. That's cool access. Going into a coach's huddle in the NBA, not much to it. Or between quarters or something like that. Hey, Steve, how are you going to stop Anthony Edwards? Like, oh, geez. I got to go over there and talk to them about this kind of stuff. But anyway, that's kind of cool. I dig it. So episode 167, Devers Bay Day, which means the press conference is today at 2:30. No brainer. I keep saying that. And I guess the media has to dig for something negative. It's just not there for once. Believe me, I'm not pessimistic. I wouldn't call myself that. I'd call myself a realist. And I'm always digging for the what if or why or, you know, I'm very skeptical in terms of, you know, in my everyday life. Like, this is too good to be true. What's the catch? it's too good to be true. What's the catch? Like, I'm always like, no. What's going on? No. I just want to give this to you for free. Our country doesn't work like that. Life doesn't work like that. Like, no, I'm going to give you this. You know, give you a deal, give you a freebie, give you, like, there's always something. If you're handing me something for free, I'm thinking to myself, what do you want from me? I know at some point you want something from me. So what is it? No. Seriously, this is a great deal. Take Devers. No, what's the catch? I know there's one. In this case, there's just not. There's just not. It's the one of the very few times where it's just not. So there's that. Let me see. What else do I have to play for you here? I got a bunch of good stuff. Oh, I got some. I'll do this a little bit later. So that's the Giant side of things. Before I get into everything, and again, we're going to be back at about 2:30 press conference. We'll probably be back here 3:15, 3:30. So make sure that you are back with us today and you have your alerts on. Good morning, James A. Good morning, Nutter. Did I say that? Yeah. I don't know. During the in game with like the players on the field, I kind of like, you know, but the NBA stuff I could do without. Like, I don't need to hear the, you know, the coach between quarters and everything. Yeah. This is what I mean. This is what I'm dancing around for free agency. It's 2 a.m. Exactly. The girls go from a 4 to a 10. That's free agency. Honestly, that's free agency, and it works with guys too. Like, you've got a bunch of drinks. This is what's left. You know, that's what's left. That's called free agency. I got to look past this, and this. You know, I guess that's good. As far as trades are concerned, you actually want that player. That's why trades are great. Now, do they always work out? No, they don't. But the Giants identified Rafael Devers. They didn't say, you know, and again, I'm not ripping these players, and these players may become Giants at some point. But, you know, the name, the Ryan O'Hearns of the world, that's fine. But you have your fingers crossed and you're like, man, he's having a career year. Can he keep it going? Oh, I hope so. This is like Rafael Devers is going to hit 30. He's going to knock in 100. His OPS is going to be, you know, at least high eights, probably into the nines, and maybe even hit 1,000. Like, this is a legit dude. Top five, top 10 hitter. He's going to make all the hitters around you better. If he hits two in the two hole, who's ever hitting in the 3, 4, 5 is like, not right on. You know, if he's hitting in the three hole, the two hitter gets better pitches. So if, like, let's say Adames gets it going and they decide, okay, Adames is going to hit in the two and Devers is going to hit in the three. And it's a 3-1 count on Adames. He's going to see a fastball. You're not going to screw around because it's like, damn, Devers is up. I got to challenge this guy. You know, I'm not putting on a guy before Devers, because then that becomes two runs right there. Like, these guys are going to see better pitches. Hell, it's going to be 4 or 5 hitters away. It just changes things. That's how baseball works. You got you look at the Dodgers lineup and you go, where's my break? Especially in those first few hitters. When you go Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, you're like, damn it. You know, Will Smith is a great, like, all of a sudden, Teoscar Hernandez, like, all of a sudden, you get hitter after hitter after hitter. It's exhausting for a pitcher because they get no break. And in the Giants lineup, Bailey's a break. Okay, Yastrzemski at times can be a break. But now you start looking at the top of the lineup, and however they put it, Lee, Ramos, Devers, hopefully Willy Adames comes around, Chapman can get red hot. Like, you're looking at 5 or 6 at-bats there where they're going to be professional at-bats, and they're going to be a pain in the ass for the pitcher. And when they get breaks, it's kind of like all of us. Like, you're running. Okay, you can slow down. Just jog for a minute. Okay, then run again. Like, you get tired. And all this, that's why the Dodgers lineup is so tough, because you go through it and you don't get a break. And then you make a mistake. And at the bottom of the order, Tommy Edman hits a home run off you. And you're like, damn it. Well, because you had to challenge Tommy Edman, because you know what? Ohtani's standing on the on-deck circle. And you haven't had a break in 5 or 6 hitters. Like, you've got to be balls out, focused, or else you're going to get beat up. That's why the lineups are so tough. It's individual players, one after the other, after the other, after the other. And the Giants just added one of the best bats in baseball. So all of a sudden you're going, let's assume just for a second, for some fun here. Let me pop the lineup up again. But let's just have fun for a second, right? All right. At the beginning, Jung-Hoo Lee, I mean, is he going to hit a home run off you? Probably not, but that's going to be a tough at bat. Adames, if he's playing to his abilities, tough at bat. Devers, Chapman, Ramos, Flores. So your first 6 guys in your order, those are all going to be professional at-bats that you got to focus, or you're going to get beat. And then Yastrzemski, if you could add another one down there, That would be nice. But again, Yastrzemski is a roller coaster ride. So at times he can be a tough at bat. Bailey's a complete zero. And Tyler Fitzgerald is a good athlete who I don't think has played up to his potential. He was a guy that last year you thought to yourself, man, you move him to second. You have a guy at second base who can hit 18 to 20 home runs. You know, last year, that's the kind of thing he showed. Now he did it in a major spurt way. But hopefully he can get back to doing that. But he can be dangerous at times. So he's not a zero. But Bailey's a zero in the lineup. There's no doubt about it. And if you could possibly upgrade again, because you're just not adding, you're adding a decent amount of money with Devers, but it's not outrageous. So if you're going for it, you might as well go for it. And if they start playing some really good baseball and Yastrzemski sticks out like a sore thumb in that lineup, because I don't love 7, 8, 9, but kind of like, you know, a lot of lineups are like that, even if it's a really good lineup, but you look at 1 through 6 there, you're not getting a break as a pitcher. If Wilmer Flores continues to hit the way he's hitting, those are 6 professional at-bats that you got to deal with. And in the middle of that order with Adames, Devers, Chapman, and Ramos, any one of those guys can hit it out of the park. And Devers can go anywhere. It's not like you're going to say, okay, well, Devers is a dead pole hitter. He hits a ton of balls to the to Oppo. He's going to hit Oppo home runs. Get ready in left field bleachers if he's up at bat. He can go that way. He does go that way. He'd have a bunch more home runs if he played in this park, balls that went off the monster. So that's a professional lineup, finally. And we're a place where a pitcher's going to go, damn, man, that's a lot of guys I got to get through in a lineup. And when's the last time you said about that about the Giants? Like, damn, they got a lineup in which you got to get through some guys. I mean, even when they were in the World Series, that's a better lineup than, I don't have to go back and look at 10, 12, and 14, but off the top of my head, that's probably better than 14 for sure, probably better than 12. I mean, that's a good lineup. And like I said, I don't think they should be done. If I'm Buster right now, I'm going, okay, if this one goes well, it's almost like investments. Okay, trust me on this investment into Devers. Damn, this is going well, boys. Right field sure is kind of sticking out there. Second base is kind of sticking out there. Like, can we get one more? Not a Devers quality player, but can we get a solid player at either second base or right field before all this thing is done? And now we only have one clear hole in our lineup, which is Bailey, which then we can deal with because the rest of the lineup is so good. So anyway, I'm very optimistic and I don't see downside on this whole thing because he's going to answer that question today as just, personal problem. He hadn't been a problem up to that point. So I'm not worried about it one bit. So episode 167, Devers Bay Day press conference today, 2:30. You and I will reconvene here at about 3:15. Probably. Yeah. It can't be 3:30. It's going to be too close to game time. So I bet 3:15, maybe you and I will reconvene. And before I jump on, I'm just going to have some of the press conference for you, and we'll play some of the stuff. The questions I've talked about, it's going to be the questions of the money, of the fit, of the ballpark, of where he hits in the lineup. What else? Why he wanted out of Boston? The number one question might be for fans: will you play first base? Because if he will, to be honest, I'm not calling this a downside. The only thing where I'm like, I don't want a 28-year-old DH who is capable. He's not going to be the third baseman. We know that with Matt Chapman. Occasionally, maybe. But with Matt Chapman, he's playing every game when he's healthy. And he's such a good defender. That's not even a question mark. But can you play first base? You're 28 years old. When you're 34, when you're going into the last few years of this contract, you can be our DH. But you're 28 years old. I don't want a 28-year-old DH, man. So there's that. That would be the only thing. But those are the questions that are going to be asked at the press conference today with Devers. And again, 3:15, something like that, 3:15, 3 o'clock, 3:15, you and I will reconvene. So Devers Bay Day, no-brainer. The questions I just answered for you, and we'll get to Ohtani in just a second. You may disagree with me on the Ohtani thing, but that's cool. I'm debating this. Yeah, after the show, depending on what I've got going on today, I may go down there. So we'll see how that goes. Because I wouldn't mind pressing the flesh a little bit. That's always a good thing. I know I was the same way as you were last night, Kyle. I was like, let's go, man. Let's go. But he couldn't have come across the country and all that kind of stuff. And I did see, you probably saw the same video. They were, the Red Sox were chartering because they're on the West Coast and they're playing the Giants this weekend, as it would be. By the way, if you're going to the game this weekend, I'm definitely going on Friday night. Like Friday night is just like, come on. But anyway, so we'll hit that up. Let's see what else. Yeah, I don't think they're going to. How's it going, JR? Good to see you. I don't think Bailey's going anywhere. They love Bailey. And I think part of the thing, and same thing with Buster Posey, is they've got to build this lineup because they know that Bailey, at least until Robo-Wumps come in, because he's so good at stealing pitches, that they know that Bailey's going to be their guy and he's great behind the plate. Now, if you have a somewhat iffy lineup, you can't have Bailey hitting a .185 and having gross, and I do mean gross, at bats. You've got to upgrade at that position because there's just not enough sticks. You add Devers, a incredible hitter, and maybe one more to the outfield, or next year, for example. By the way, this is the most exciting thing. I keep jumping around here on this, and I'm going to go to get to Otani, I promise. You want to know the most exciting thing of everything that I've talked about in regards to Devers? In 2021, when they won 107 games, you got to give them credit, but it was really a mirage. I don't know how you can get lucky for 162 games. You normally can't, but they did. And guys had their career years, like Brandon Crawford and Brandon Belt, and you know, all these guys had career years, and Lamont Wade Jr. But normally, when you platoon, what it means is you're just not good enough to have one great player there. So platoons can work sometimes, but they're a little bit like a bullpen. From year to year, you just never know. And when you have to, this is just a rule of life. When you have to rely on more people rather than less really good ones, you're going to tend to fluctuate in your performance. So if I've got one guy at a position and he's good enough to hold down that position, then he's generally going to be better than a guy who's a platoon, because then I need two guys to be good rather than just one. And if I have one, then I'm good. Like if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. If you have a really good quarterback, you're in good shape. If you have to play four quarterbacks in a year, I bet you didn't make the playoffs. That's just kind of how it works. So now, if let's just say for the sake of conversation, Devers can play first every day, shortstop every day, third base every day, catcher every day, left field every day, center field every day. So the only positions that may fluctuate on my team would be right field with Yastrzemski, who I think is a better fourth outfielder, and the jury's still out on Tyler Fitzgerald, who I still think could be a good second baseman and good hitter. He's just not played the way he did last year. And again, a lot of those home runs were in a specific period of the season, so you did have to question it. But let's say they go into the offseason, this next offseason, and let's say Bryce Eldridge is really something. Now all of a sudden you have Bryce Eldridge. Flores leaves, Eldridge is at first, Devers is your first baseman / DH, and now Eldridge is under contract. He's not even to arbitration. So you've got a combination of guys who are not even to arbitration, guys like Bailey, Eldridge, if he can do it, some young pitchers like Birdsong. So now you're getting balance, which I know you don't care about, but now you have balance in your payroll. Yeah, Devers is making a lot of money. Adames is making a lot of money. Lee's making a lot of money. You got that. But Ramos hasn't gotten paid yet, right? Bailey hasn't gotten paid yet. Eldridge hasn't gotten paid yet. Like you've got young pitch behind them. They could still, next offseason, they could still go out and get pitching. You don't think guys are going to be banging down the Giants' door now? Like before, it was like, I said this about Aaron Judge yesterday. Aaron Judge is going, I have no protection in my lineup. If I go to the Giants a couple years ago, I have no protection in the lineup. And I don't know that you're committed to winning. Now, this next offseason, the agents are going to be calling the Giants, not the Giants going, hey, would your guy come here? No. Hello? Is this thing on? It's the phone, by the way. Versus this next offseason, pitchers are like, you got Devers hitting? You guys are going to score your 4 or 5 runs a game. Remember, I've showed you this a million times, like the 4-plus runs a game that the Giants need to win. Let me double-check that number again as they go into tonight's game. But you don't think Rafael Devers is going to help them get to the magic number? Giants game notes. By the way, these are readily available on – you don't even have to be a media member to get these. So this was as of the 15th. Let me just do the thing here, because this is a huge number. So the Giants, when they score 4, are, you probably can get this faster than I can. When they score 4 or more, they're 29-10. 29-10. When they score 3 or fewer, they're 12-20. What do you think they needed? One of the best bats in the game? They just got that. 29-10 when they score 4 or more. 23-4 when they score 5 or more. But 12-20 when they score 3 or more. So it's a pretty simple game. We can talk about all the X's and O's. We can talk about all the analytics. We can deep dive into all these things. All these people can talk about spin rates and exit velocities and all these different things. When they score 4, 29-10. When they score 3 or fewer, 12-20. When they score 5 or more, 23-4. score four. They should have t-shirts, score four. I think Devers is going to help them score four. That's what they do, 29 and 10 when they score four. That's just what this team does. And as far as, and again, let's, you know, people talk about, well, are you too optimistic about their pitching? In June, starting pitchers are 4-4 with a 3.93. They were better last month. And the bullpen, this is their worst month as a bullpen, 5-3 with a 3.40. But their first 2 months bullpen-wise, 2.43, 2.52. Last year as a starting, or last month as a starting staff, 2.77. So what's funny is now they're 4-2 as a starting staff this month. But they're fine. I mean, they're top three, their rotation. I'm not worried 1 second about pitching. Not at all. They score 4, 29, and 10. That's it. Bottom line. All right. Let's see. What else do we got? That's good. As far as the Giants, again, we'll be back for that. Let me hit up Ohtani really quick. I know you hate him and all that kind of stuff because he's wearing Dodger blue. He threw, what was it, 28 pitches last night? He had 13 in the high 90s or 100. Look at this. Yeah, 13 pitches over 98 in his first appearance of 2025. He also topped over 100. He hadn't pitched in 22 months. I know he's wearing Dodger blue. You're probably going to disagree with me on this. I understand he's wearing Dodger blue, but what he does is ridiculous. We're never going to see it again. Never, 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 never. The guy hadn't pitched in 22 months. He threw 13 pitches over 98 miles an hour. And then, of course, you can see the bend he has in his pitches and everything like that. So if he dedicated himself to pitching, I don't know where he could be on the scale as far as pitchers. I mean, could it be Tarik Skubal, who's so good, or, you know, all these different guys? I mean, you know, Logan Webb, who's been so good. I mean, could he be top five? I don't know. I mean, just as it is, he could probably work himself up by the end of the season to be maybe a top 25 pitcher in baseball, top 20 pitcher in baseball. And he's the second best hitter in baseball behind Aaron Judge. Last year, he was the best hitter in baseball. So I'm not saying to root for the Dodgers. I'm not even saying root for Ohtani. I'm just saying, like, in our lifetime, when you say to your kids, here's who I saw play, who are the sports figures that you saw play in your lifetime? You know, I covered Jordan. And I saw some of the best. We saw Steph Curry play and revolutionize things. We're just never going to see this again. We're not going to see this again. Guy throwing 98, 13 out of 28 pitches. Ridiculous. Plus, I mean, these aren't all fastballs. I mean, that one was. But I mean, a lot of those pitches that I just showed you, let me just do this one more time. I mean, there's bend to some of these. You know, that's a fastball. But let me see. Yeah, come on, throw a bender. And I mean, now you're throwing all fastballs. Earlier, there was some bend. Nope, that's not. Anyway, point is, you're just not going to see that again. So while I'm not asking you to root for the Dodgers, root for anything Dodger blue, I get it. That is vomit-inducing to you as a Giants fan. But what we're seeing is when you look back and you think, who did I see play? I'm not sure that he's not going to be at the top. And I know as a Bay Area fan, you're going to think to yourself, oh, I saw Montana, and I saw Curry, and I saw Rice. And, you know, I get it. I get all those things. I'm just saying it's ridiculous. I mean, just ridiculous what he's doing. To go out last night, he only threw 28 pitches. But it was like, my God, man, this is just silly what this guy is doing. And we'll just never see it again. So it was crazy. Let's see. What else do we have today? Ohtani returns. NBA Finals. My God. Indiana had a chance to take a 3-1 lead, and then last night, I don't know what's going on with Halliburton. He must be more injured than we think. Didn't hit any shots. I've never seen a guy in the playoffs, and again, injuries are playing a factor here, but I've never seen a guy in the NBA playoffs play at one level and then play at another level. Like, just, I mean, and this isn't just, this is like, in, I mean, half to half. His first halves have been terrible, even in game one when he hit that game-winning shot. Just unreal. So 3-2 lead for Oklahoma City. I've said this a million times, so I'm not going to dwell on it a whole lot. I think that they're going to start up a dynasty. Having said that, Kevin Durant, they've talked about going to the Spurs. I don't know what the Spurs are thinking. It's not considered to be a great draft, and read this morning that the Spurs don't want to give up the second pick in the draft for Durant. That's fine. Maybe you love somebody in the draft. Maybe you're going to add to Victor. Then just, you know, do that and don't even get Durant, because, you know, they either want Stephon Castle, who was the rookie of the year last year, and it's pretty good, or the second pick in the draft. And if you're trying to get Kevin Durant, even at his age, one of those two things, if not both, are worth it. Because if they got Kevin Durant, and I don't care, they gave up Castle or the second pick, and then they'd have to give up probably a Harrison Barnes to make the numbers work. Like, if you do something like that, you're up there with Oklahoma City. And this is the way it goes. And then you force Houston to have to make a move. And this is why I'm going to equate this back to the Warriors real quick. You know, they have to move Kuminga to get some size. But even if they do, let's say that, you know, they're not going to get top of the top type guy. Like, people are talking about Jaren Jackson Jr. because Memphis moved Desmond Bane to Orlando, that they're going to be somehow breaking the team up. I don't know that that's the case. I'm not trading Jaren Jackson Jr. if I'm Memphis. What does that do for me? He's under a long-term contract. Maybe they will. That would be the ultimate piece for the Warriors. They'd have to give up a lot to get him. I don't think that's happening. So let's throw that aside for a minute. I'm just looking at Oklahoma City with championship swag, the Spurs, who potentially get Kevin Durant, the Rockets, who then if Durant goes to the Spurs, they're going to try to shift to maybe a Giannis or something like that. But even if they don't, that's a really good team. Denver's an interesting team. They're certainly at a crossroads. The Lakers are going to try to do something. I don't know what it's going to be, but they're like the Warriors. They've got to try to add size. Dallas is going to get the first pick in the draft and Cooper Flagg, and they're going to add that to a healthy Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis. That's not going to be a fun team to play because Flagg's about, what, 6'9", 6'10", and then you're looking at Anthony Davis with his size, so that's going to give the Warriors trouble. The West is a bitch. I guess that's what I'm trying to get to here with blah, 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 blah. The West is going to suck to play against next year. And that's not even counting teams that could, you know, potentially move from the bottom to the top or whatever the case may be. I mean, you know, Utah's still hurting, Portland's still hurting. There's a number of teams like that. I don't know what Memphis is going to be now that they made that move. I don't know what the Clippers are going to do. That's an old team that needs to revitalize itself. You know, Kawhi's always hurt. Harden's getting older. I mean, they're tough. They play hard. Ty Lue hasn't playing hard, but they need to make some sort of a major move. So, look, there's a lot of stuff going on in the West, but I just know at the top of the West, with Oklahoma City and San Antonio, if they get Kevin Durant, that's going to be hard for the Warriors to penetrate that over the next 2 years where they have this window. All right, OJ Day. OJ Day. Yeah, they wouldn't play Devers at second, by the way. Yeah, he wouldn't play second. He just doesn't have that kind of movement. Let me see here. Let me go to OJ Day. Did you realize that today, and you probably did, but if you're of a certain age, it's really hard because now this is 1994, June 17, 1994. And I'm sure you've heard of it, but I was on college summer break. I was at my parents' house, and I remember sitting on my couch watching this because we're watching the NBA Finals. And this is the perfect time to talk about it because the NBA Finals are going on right now. So this is now 31 years ago, right? 25 and 6. So this is 31 years ago. So you may be too young to remember this. And, you know, the way that I was looking at it today, because, again, this happened June 17, 1994, and it was O.J. Simpson and the Bronco chase, and it was happening during the NBA Finals. So I'm going to play a clip for you here. But it's even hard in watching this video to try to equate what this was like. And you know what it's going to be like to a certain extent, not to this level, but to a certain extent, is trying to explain to young people years from now what the pandemic was like. Like, we had to stay in our house and we had to, you know, and we couldn't go to work and we couldn't go to the store and we had to wear masks. I mean, people are like, what? And you're going to try to explain it to them. Now, that's on a much bigger scale than the OJ Simpson Bronco chase. I understand that. But just sitting on my mom's couch watching this thing and knowing it was O.J. Simpson with a gun to his head, which was then taking over the NBA Finals. There wasn't like an alternative channel where you could just, this is where we're going to have it, and that's just the way it's going to be. And, you know, it was NBC. NBC. It was NBC. And they had the finals between the Knicks and the Rockets. The Knicks, the number one market in the country in New York, Houston, a major market. Hakeem Olajuwon, Patrick Ewing, like, this was major, big market stuff. NBA Finals during the day, by the way, which you don't see anymore, but that's it. And they're cutting away from it to go to a guy who's going, like, you know, 50 miles an hour with his best friend, and he's got a gun to his head. And I don't even know how to equate O.J. Simpson to somebody nowadays in his popularity. But one of the most popular figures in, you know, football history, TV history, just a, you know, a good looking guy. Like, we all know who OJ was, but again, if you're too young to remember, let me just play this. But it was one of the most surreal days of anyone's life who was living back in those days.
We believe that that car belongs to Al Collings, who was a lifetime friend of OJ Simpson and disappeared with him today from a home in the San Fernando Valley as police were closing in to make an arrest of the well-known personality shortly after he had been formally charged with two counts of murder.
Coming in on the left side, no block out by Mason as he went for the ball, and it's just all Olajuwon getting up in the air with room to operate as he takes this and just turns it over and down.
In this first half, we will set it to NBC News. Here's Tom Brokaw.
Thank you, Marvin. We are looking once again at pictures of Al Cowling's cars. It makes its way along a freeway in Los Angeles in the south central part of that area. And we are told by the California Highway Patrol that O.J. Simpson is in that car holding a gun to his head. He has been in touch with a police highway dispatcher saying he wants to be taken to his mother. He wants to see her. But we don't know what the resolution of all of this will be. There are nine black and whites, most of them from the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, and at least one police helicopter.
All right, Tom, obviously it's so difficult to follow news of that nature. And as we return to Madison Square Garden, tempers flaring between the Rockets and the Knicks with 49 seconds to go in this first half. Here's another look at it while we were away.
This is an update from News for New York.
Good evening, I'm Chuck Scarborough. As you've been witnessing, the bizarre drama surrounding O.J. Simpson gets wilder by the hour. Police closed in on O.J. Simpson on the grounds of his estate. This is a live picture. The California Highway Patrol says O.J. Simpson is in a Bronco there with a gun. A friend of his, Al Cowlings, is believed to be in the car with him, or he has gotten out recently. Simpson has been on the run this morning, since this morning, when he was supposed to surrender to police on murder charges.
Just, this is going on during the NBA Finals. So if you could imagine, like, you know, even to just kind of localize it to, like, the Warriors in the Finals. Steph Curry with a three from the corner. Oh, and here's Tom Brokaw, as you can see. We've got eight black and whites behind the California Highway Patrol as O.J. Simpson has a gun to his head in that white Bronco. And all of a sudden, Marv comes, oh, Patrick Ewing with a facial, yes! I mean, it's going back and forth here, and there's nowhere to go. Like, you're an NBA fan, you're like, okay, yeah, O.J., great, later. I'm a Knicks fan or something. I'm a Rockets fan, and I'm an NBA fan. There's no alternative channel to go to. The game was on NBC. That's where the game was. But they deemed that it was more important than the NBA Finals. And they were right. The ratings are through the roof. It was more important than the NBA Finals was to show a slow chase in L.A. with O.J. Simpson in the back with a gun to his head. It was unbelievable. And you remember, or if you don't, if you're young, all the overpasses, because they were watching it on TV, they're like, hey, that's by my house. People were going out to the overpasses and like, run, juice, run. It was like, what is going on? Like, they were rooting for Juice to get away from the cops. He's a murderer. So what, man? They had banners. I mean, it was unbelievable. You know, they had like news trucks and stuff. Like, they could see into the car because it wasn't going fast. It was unreal. And then they pop back to the NBA Finals. I'm getting my voices right. Marv Albert. Welcome back, not Madison Square Garden. You know, anyway, that was a terrible Marv, but you get my idea. It was unbelievable, man. It was just, I'm just sitting there going, this was reality TV before reality TV. It was the ultimate reality TV. Like, there's a dude back there for real. And like, we all know who he is, and he murdered his wife and, you know, or whatever, guy that worked in the restaurant, or boyfriend, or whatever. It was just so wild, man. Yeah, and then Christian's got it right. And then they get in fact, I should have got that. They had the phones, and you get that. This is AC, I have OJ in the car. You know what this is. Like, they get that, and they're playing that. Like, in real time, like, we're hearing the conversation that they're having between the cops. Hey, AC, Al Cowlings. Hey, AC,
it's cool, man. And then they're negotiating. He's going to his house and all those cops show up at Rockingham. And like, it was so wild. So June 17th, 1994, 31 years ago. And again, if you weren't around for it or can't remember it or were too young, I'm telling you, man, go back. Just go back to YouTube and watch some of that stuff. It was just the craziest thing ever. And I can remember I was when the verdict was read, I was on a plane and I was flying into Atlanta. And they were reading the verdict finally. And so I get off the plane, and you know how hectic airports are. And Atlanta's a major airport. And I remember getting off the plane, and there was no one. Like, you ever get off a plane at, I don't know, you know, it could be 1 a.m, 2 a.m, could be a red eye, it's 6 a.m, 5 a.m, wherever you land or whatever. And there's no one. And, you know, late at night usually. And I'm walking, and there's no one. And then it used to be in airports, it's not so much this anymore because people have their phones and everything, but they'd have big TVs at each gate, you know, and so you could watch TV. And so I'm looking, and on either side, at all the gates, people are huddled around the TVs. There's no one. I'm not kidding you. Not one or two people. There's no one in the walkways. And everyone's looking up at those TVs that they used to have at all the gates because the verdict was being read. And I had forgotten, you know, I'm on a plane and everything. And again, this is not in the days of Wi-Fi on a plane or anything like that. So when you're working on a plane, you're on your own. You're not connected to anything. You're not watching TV. You're not doing any of those things. 1994. And so I'm walking along, and I've got like my bag or whatever, and I'm looking, and I'm like, what's going on? And then it clicks into my head. Oh shit. The verdict is being read today. And I just remember walking up to those TVs and just huddling with everyone. And they're just watching, you know, OJ get off. And it was like, oh God, like, man, you know, crazy. Anyway, the Bronco chase. June 17, 1994. I love all these. By the way, I'm looking at the chat line right now. Al Cowlings, Marcia Gray. What was the guy? Christopher, the hell is his name? I mean, and plus, they've made so many documentaries on it. It's like, oh my God. The Goldman family. I mean, think about the drama that was around all this stuff, man. It was insane, man. Anyway, 31 years ago today. No, they are not related. Al Cowlings and Jacob Cowlings. Yeah, I don't think so. But there you go. And yeah, the white Bronco, I think, was I forgot what it was auctioned for. The white Bronco was auctioned off somewhere, something like that. But yeah, I think they were they splitting the screen at some point? Because like I said, it's not like today. Like NBC could say, okay, I'll tell you what, we're gonna put the Bronco chase on NBC and we're gonna put the NBA finals like on Peacock. And whoever the exec for Peacock is like, yes, people are going to have to sign up for Peacock. I mean, you know, or it'd be on some secondary channel, but not then. It was like, do we go to Tom Brokaw? This is Tom Brokaw. Sorry to interrupt the NBA Finals. Marv Albert sitting there going, seriously? That's it? Like, we don't have to call the game right now? Let us know when we're back. I'm going to go get a drink. My God, man. It's crazy. Press conference for Devers today, 2:30, just so that you know. Rafael Devers' press conference today is 2:30. And like I said, we will be back here at some point. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, I think Cato had a podcast for a long time. I don't know what the heck he's doing now, but he did have a podcast. He knows something. When he's on his deathbed, we'll find something out. Christopher Darden, that was the guy's name. Anyway, Marcia Clark. Christopher Darden. Yeah, that was the one. And then he had the all-star. There was no way they were losing that one. Not with those lawyers. My God. Are you kidding me? Let's see. Yeah, AC probably was the best friend that anybody could ever have. Because you know what? If you were a murderer and you asked me to slow run your Bronco down, you know, the five or something, nah, you have to find somebody else. I mean, I would consider myself a very good friend, but not like Al Cowling's friend. Like, nah, don't think so. Hey, can you help me out? I got to get away from the cops. I'm supposed to turn myself in. Come get me. Okay. I swear I didn't do it. Okay. We'll do that. No, that ain't me. Don't call me. I'm not doing a white Bronco chase with you, man, no matter how good of a friend you are. And I consider myself an above average friend. I think I'm trustworthy. I think I'm there for you. I think when things are bad, I'm going to, you know, try to help you and everything like that. But nah. Not driving the Bronco. Not doing it, man. That's me. All right. What else do we have today? I think that'll do it for episode 167 because we're going to be back very, very soon. So here's the deal. Press conference 2:30. They're not going to want to push that thing into too much past three because they're going to be getting into game time and he's going to, you know, be getting ready. He wants to take grounders. If he's going to do that, he's going to get hitting practice in that ball, in that yard. So what we're going to do is I bet that press conference goes about 2:30 to three. And then they're going to want to get him down on the field and all that kind of stuff. So what we'll do is I'm going to have a couple of videos that I want to cut up for you so that we have them and we can discuss. And again, that's going to be a little bit longer because it's going to be like, okay, they ask him a question, translator, all that kind of stuff. So we'll probably be back maybe 3:15, 3:30 this afternoon, and let's talk about what we hear from Devers. And as I told you before, the questions will be real simple. What happened in Boston? What was the fallout? Are you afraid to hit in this yard? Will you play first base? The last buster, how it went down, the money about it. Ask Devers, you know, sad to leave Boston, all this kind of thing. It's going to be pretty simple. And like I said, from a standpoint of no brainer, we just aren't programmed like that in media. Like, what's the catch? Put me down on, and when we go, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, whenever, put me down into the column of this is a no brainer. There is no downside. Because even if he doesn't like hitting in this ballpark, you flip him and you get more back for him. If a worst case scenario happens, which I don't anticipate, but if he hates hitting in this yard and he gets, you know, triple dally a bunch of times, because the difference is he goes oppo a lot and he's going to get some cheap home runs out there. But if he just absolutely hates it 2-3 years from now, 30, 31, he's, so what? He's a DH at that point, still one of the better hitters in the game. I'm trading him for more than what I gave up because they just didn't give up a lot. Just didn't. And the contract is totally fine. That's another thing they're going to ask Buster. What about the money? Who gave the okay? How did this go down? Like all that kind of stuff. It's not a ton of money. To me and you, it is. I mean, my God, we'd be like, but not to the organization. This is not a big contract. After this year, it's $226 million over 8 years. $27, $28 million a year for a hitter of this quality who would never in a million years come here? Absolutely. And this is long, long, long overdue. It finally took somebody with a brain like Buster Posey to say, I got an idea. You know this excess pitching we have? How about we trade it for hitting? Because you know what? Hitters don't come here. Now, Willie Adames did, and Buster Posey convinced him too. So good. But so far, by the way, this is something we haven't mentioned over the last couple of days. Buster Posey, the player, great. As good as it gets. Buster Posey, the person, great. As good as it gets. Buster Posey early returns and the executive, amazing. Amazing. I'm not going to call him a better executive than a player, but because it's still early. But I'll defend this until we stop talking about this trade, which isn't going to be anytime soon. Conceptually, this is right. It's a no-brainer. So even if it doesn't work, that's not on Buster. You can have the right concept and it not work out. I understand that's how all these talk shows go. Oh, this is a no-brainer. And they should have been doing this for years, the Giants. They should have quit acting like a small market team, and they should have been like, okay, we got all this pitching. And even if I trade young pitching, I can get pitching to sign here. It's no-brainer stuff. And yet they haven't done it for years. Get a not just an okay bat, one of the best bats there is. Why am I sitting here trying to sign them? They won't come. Stanton and Harper and Otani, and they're not coming here voluntarily. We have to almost hold them hostage. Like, we just traded for 8 years of your contract, Devers. You got to play here, man. That's just how it is. So, anyway, that's my thought. What else do we got? Anything else in the chat room? Oh, look at this. If you want to get your stuff on the screen, as you know, 100% questions, comments, thoughts, a great way to do that, or the only way to do that really is with a super, and you're donating to the show, which is outstanding. The Nutter says, make sure to hit the like button. John working order to pay for George's Uber ride. Yeah, the Nutter is 100% right. If you are new to the show around here, welcome, welcome, welcome to John Lund Unleashed. But my son is covering baseball in the Cape this summer, and after a series of unfortunate events, had this little jumper puddle plane, like I told you guys the other day, and they got caught in some bad weather, so they had to go back, land, and then he had to take an Uber from Boston all the way up to Cape Cod. I mean, look, modern day problems, but you know, cost a few bucks. So if you contribute, that's where it's going. So thank you, Nutter, and thank you for the reminder. Much, much, much appreciated. All right, anything else today before we're going to do two shows? Oh, that's not a bad idea, actually. We should chug a beer for the I will this afternoon. I promise you. If you return for the press conference evaluation today at about 3 o'clock or so Pacific, I'll have one in here because we got to chug for one for the Rafael Devers trade. I mean, that's bigger than any home run they're going to hit, right? I mean, that's just how it is. Plus, we should almost do a I should almost do a triple play today and do a Devers show tonight to see how he does. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll do a triple today. Maybe I'll do this show, 3 o'clock show, and I may have just committed to a night show. Maybe. We'll see. So there we go. Anything else today? Anything else today? Thank you for tuning in. Do remember, please subscribe before you get out of here. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, the Bay Area Sports Collective, which you see that big B in the corner. That is my show. Tom Tolbert, Rod Brooks, Creative Tony, and of course, Polly Mack, Amy G, Jeremy Affelt, former Giants pitcher, all of those shows and more to come on the Bay Area Sports Collective. So make sure that you subscribe there. Thank you for watching today on LinkedIn, Facebook. Where else are we today? X at John Lund Radio, Instagram at John Lund Radio. If you'd come over to the YouTube channel, that would be greatly appreciated. Anything else we got to hit today? I think that is it. Give me your questions, comments, thoughts right under here. Comments, always appreciated, whether you agree or not. You can call me crazy. You can agree. That is fine with me. And I do that a lot. I comment and get back to people a lot on X at John Lund Radio. So hit me up there as well. All right. Have a tremendous Tuesday, but we are not done. We will see you this afternoon after the press conference, and we'll talk more about Rafael Devers after we hear from him, Rafael Devers Day in the Bay. We'll do that this afternoon. Have a great rest of your morning and early afternoon, and we'll speak to you a little bit later today on John Lund Unleashed.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!